Well, today is a very special and unique worship service. We've never had one of these before, but we're going to be acknowledging and celebrating the ordination of Steve Bunnell as a pastor of Touchstone Christian Fellowship. People have asked me many times over the years, how does a person get into the ministry? How does a person become a pastor? There are people who have chosen the vocation of pastor as they would any other career or profession, like choosing to be a nurse or a bricklayer or an engineer. And to be honest, I fear for people who go into the ministry like that, because that is not the way God does it. Those people are seriously imperiling themselves. I ran across a website yesterday. The address is ordainmenow.org. Not making it up. The people behind that website may be able to grant a person a certificate of ordination that will allow them to perform weddings and such, but that is not recognized by God. That kind of a pastor or minister is a fraud in the kingdom of God. There is only one legitimate way to become a pastor, as far as I know. You must be called by God. It's not about training or college degrees or experience or certificates or family background or who you know. It's about one thing: being called by the God of the universe. It's a sacred call and position that must be entered into with great fear and trembling. To put oneself into a position like this without the undeniable, irresistible call of God on your life is foolishness in the highest degree. The mission statement of Touchstone Christian Fellowship is Ephesians 4:11-16. It says, it was He, Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. One of the fundamental beliefs that comes from this scripture and which this church holds true is that every believer is to be involved in works of service. There are to be no spectators in the church. Everyone is supposed to be in the game, making a contribution, sharing our life, sharing our talents, sharing our gifts, sharing our resources with each other, working together to carry out the mission that God has given to the church. Paul uses the analogy of a human body to illustrate this. Just like every part of the human body has a purpose and serves the greater good of the whole body, so every member of the body of Christ also has a purpose and is to serve the greater good of the entire body. Romans 12:4. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body. And listen, each member belongs to all the others. So in one sense, all Jesus followers are called by God into a life of ministry. But there is a unique call that God places on the life of some people, a call to set aside their own life pursuits and take up a life of service to God and His people instead. This special call is what we're talking about today. God has called men and women throughout history to set aside their own goals and aspirations and instead take up God's special cause, making God's plans their plans, God's concerns their concerns, God's heart their heart, God's mission their mission. Abraham was such a man. His story begins in Genesis 12 when the Lord said to him, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you." Abraham's response to that call of God is found in verse 4 of Genesis 12 when he said, "So Abraham left as the Lord had told him." Abraham didn't know exactly where the Lord was calling him to go. All he knew at that point was that he had to follow that call in his life. Oftentimes in our life, the details of the plan are only revealed as we step out into that calling. There may be some of you even here today who know God is calling you in a special way, but you have not stepped into that call because you keep waiting to hear the whole story first. You want the last chapter given to you before you'll make the move, but that is not the way it works. The story needs to be lived. And in the living of the story, you are going to discover the story. You need to begin living the story you are being called into. That's the only way that you're going to get to see the whole story. That's what living by faith is like. Abraham's life would take a number of twists and turns, and even a few detours along the way. But the calling upon his life would remain constant and be the thing that would always pull him forward ultimately. Joseph was such a man. His story begins in Genesis 37 when he received the call of God upon his life as a young man in the form of some dreams he had. Foolishly, he shared those dreams with his brothers, and out of jealousy, his brothers despised him and plotted his destruction. But God's hand was on Joseph even in the midst of some of the most difficult trials imaginable. Being sold as a slave by your own brothers. Being falsely accused of a terrible crime. Being unjustly imprisoned for it. And being forgotten there by those indebted to you. Years later, when he was reunited with his family in Egypt, where Joseph had eventually been appointed the second most powerful man in Egypt, second only to Pharaoh himself, he could say this to his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." God used Joseph to save his people from extinction. Sometimes the things that look like total defeat to us are all part of God's plan and preparation in our life. Moses was such a man. His story begins in Exodus 2 when he was born to a brave Jewish couple living in Egypt during a very oppressive time. By the command of Pharaoh, Moses should have been drowned in the Nile River along with every other Jewish baby boy at that time. But the Lord had called this man to a very special purpose. Pharaoh's own daughter would rescue the baby Moses from the river, and he would then grow up in Pharaoh's own house, enjoying the luxuries of Egypt. And after Moses grew up and began to age, the call of God would stir in his heart. But the time was not yet right. The Lord drove Moses out into the wilderness, to the desert, to work as a shepherd for 40 years. Then one day, the Lord called Moses from a burning bush and he gave him his special mission. The Lord was going to use Moses to lead the Israelite people out of slavery to the Egyptians and back to the land that God had promised to their ancestor Abraham hundreds of years before. Moses was a reluctant servant at first, overwhelmed with the task and feeling his abilities were grossly inadequate. He said in Exodus 4:13, "O Lord, please send someone else to do it." But God is not easily dissuaded. He knows who he calls and why he calls him. We have to trust the who and the why of God's calling as much as we have to trust the where of God's calling. We may not feel like we are the person to do what God is calling us to do, but we need to remember that God's power is made perfect in our weakness. Joshua was such a man. His story begins as an assistant to Moses, where he learned to love and trust God with his life. As Moses was nearing his death, Joshua was called by God to take over the leadership of the people of Israel. He was commissioned for this great task by Moses, who laid his hands on Joshua while standing before all of the people. And after Moses died, God came to Joshua and he said this, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." These same words are for all of those who God calls. It takes great strength and courage to trust and follow God. It takes great resolve and commitment to trust and follow God. It takes great obedience to trust and follow God. Gideon was such a man. His story begins in Judges 6, where the Lord found him threshing wheat in a wine press, hiding from the oppressive Midianites. And God called to Gideon, saying, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Gideon was another man filled with doubt about his own abilities. He said, "But Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least of my family." In other words, I am a complete nobody from the wrong side of the tracks. But as others before him learned, God makes no mistakes about who he calls. When God referred to Gideon as a mighty warrior, he was seeing what Gideon would become. God had great vision for Gideon, and God has great vision for you. The Lord answered Gideon, "I will be with you." And that is the one thing that we need above all else, to have God with us. None of us are adequate within ourselves to carry out the call that God puts on our life, but we can do it when God is with us. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do everything through him who gives me strength." Samuel was such a man. His call from God came when he was just a boy living at the temple under the leadership of the priest Eli. 1 Samuel 3:1 says, "In those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. It was not because the Lord didn't desire to speak his words to men and give them his visions. It was because there were very few men desiring these things from God." We have to have a heart that is hungry for God if we want him to speak to us. We have to have eyes for eternal things if we want God to entrust us with his visions. One who had a heart hungry for God at that time was the young Samuel. One night as Samuel was laying in bed, the Lord called to him and began from that day forward to use Samuel to speak to his people. 1 Samuel 3:19, it says, "The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word." David was such a man. The Lord chose him to be the leader of his people because David was a man after his own heart. David would care about the things that God cared about. He would have a heart that beat with love for his God and a desire to please him above all else. David would be distinguished as a lover of God. When David was first selected by God, some questioned the choice, thinking there were others more suited, others more gifted, others more experienced, others more prepared. But God answered, "The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Nehemiah was such a man. He was serving as a cupbearer for the king of Persia when his story begins. When Nehemiah heard about the great trouble and disgrace of his own people back in Jerusalem, where the walls of the city lay in ruins and its gates burned with fire, he sat down and he wept. He mourned and he fasted and he prayed for the people of God. And as Nehemiah poured his heart out to God for these hurting people, God began pouring into the heart of Nehemiah a call to lead those people and the rebuilding of their walls and rekindling their hope. The call of God on a person's life often begins with a breaking heart for God's people. Nehemiah stands as a powerful example of a person who not only saw the problem, but was willing to give his life to be part of the solution. Real leaders don't just identify problems, they work to solve them. Esther was such a woman. She was taken from her home as a young teenage girl and put into a messed up beauty contest with life and death stakes. And by the divine hand of God, she was selected to be the new queen of the mighty Persian Empire. And by degrees, she would come to realize that it was no accident that she was where she was. Her people, the Jews, would be threatened with total annihilation by those who hated them. But Esther had come to royal position for such a time as this. God put her in this place of influence, calling her to a mission of sacrifice for her people to be used by God to save them. Perhaps you have come to the position of influence that you have in your life right now for such a time as this. God has put you where you are for a reason. Watch for the opportunities that He brings into your life and let Him use you. Elisha was such a man. He was working as a farmer, plowing fields with a team of oxen when God placed His call on him. And Elisha responded to that call by slaughtering those oxen and using the wood of the plowing equipment to cook the meat and have a big barbecue for the local people. And then he left everything behind and followed Elijah, the prophet of God. Elisha put himself in a position so that he could not easily retreat back to his old life if things got difficult. When a person follows the call of God on his life, he must go full tilt like Elisha did. There can be no retreat. There can be no quitting. There can be no selling out. If the enemy knows there's a breaking point, he will take us to that breaking point and he will break us. If he knows you have a price, He will buy you. With God's help, we are enabled to never quit, never retreat, never sell out. Paul was such a man. He was a hateful, angry, confused young man when he is first encountered by us in the Scripture, giving his approval to the stoning of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. He persecuted Christians under the belief that he was actually serving God by doing it. And then while he was on his way to Damascus from Jerusalem with official orders to imprison any Christians that he found, he encountered the living God in a way that he never expected. A bright light blinded him and knocked him off of his horse. And then the voice of Jesus spoke to him from within that light and said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Paul was transformed from a violent persecutor of the church to a courageous man of faith in Jesus and who was instrumental in spreading the gospel throughout the Roman Empire. It was not easy for him. He endured many hardships for the sake of the church so that the sincerity, the authenticity of his ministry would not be questioned. In 2 Corinthians 6:3, he writes this, "We put no stumbling block in anyone's path, so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God. with weapons of righteousness in our right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. Paul said the following about his own call into the ministry. 1 Timothy 1:12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. We're not appointed to the ministry because of our personal worthiness. Rather, we are appointed to be living examples for those around us to see as an example of God's mercy, of God's unlimited patience, of his grace. To put it simply, if God can save Paul, God can save anyone. Steve Bunnell is such a man. I recognized the call of God on Steve's life several years ago when he and Shirley were still living in Sacramento before and attending Warehouse Christian Ministries. But the call of God on a person's life is something that he must discover for himself. So I held those thoughts in my heart and just prayed for God's will to be accomplished in Steve's life. He worked as a news anchor and reporter for some 18 years before coming to us here at Touchstone. God prepares us in unexpected and unusual and unique ways. I'm sure that as it was happening, Steve could not have seen where his degree in communications from Chico State and his many years of reporting the news were going to lead him. But it was the perfect preparation for what God has called him to do. Steve is now a communicator of the good news. God always knows the best ways to prepare us for the work he has called us to do. Some have been shepherds, some slaves, some prisoners, some royalty, some farmers, some cupbearers, some carpenters, some fishermen, some tent makers, some engineers, some newsmen. Some have gone through formal seminary training. Others have simply gone through the school of hard knocks. Some come from good homes. Some from broken homes. Some from privilege and wealth. Some from poverty. God uses all of it to prepare us. He wrings value out of every life experience that we go through. So I charge you, Steve, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. In ordination, we acknowledge the call of God on a person's life, and we commission him to fulfill that call. We want to do that now through prayer. Steve, if you'll come up. The board of directors of the church come up. Steve's family come up. Place your hands on Steve. Everyone in the church, please stand up. Come forward, put your hands on Steve or on his shoulder. You are commissioning him. You are ordaining him. Lord, we acknowledge the call you have on Steve's life. We pray for him that you bless his life abundantly. May his life always bring glory to you. May you prosper his labors. May you protect his heart to remain true to you now and forever. May you baptize him with your Holy Spirit and gift him with wisdom and supernatural power to carry out all of the works you have for him. We thank you for letting us participate in what you are doing in Steve's life. We thank you for Steve. You've given him to us to serve Christ by serving us. May we always be a blessing to him and him to us. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.